Alexis Doctor, a 29-year-old who grew up in New York City, is a professional dancer and costume designer for the Columbia City Ballet. She recently sat down with the Carolina Reporter to discuss costumes, the real world of Black Swan, and how she balances it all.
The movie Black Swan has really brought ballet into the public eye. Nina Sayers, played by Natalie Portman, takes perfection and competition to the extreme in order to stand out from other dancers in the company. How does that play out in real life on the stage and backstage at the Koger Center? Is ballet really this kind of mental self-torture as portrayed in the film?
Absolutely. For certain people. The thing that bothered me about the film was they really only went into depth in maybe three of the female characters. Nina and the dark-haired girl. And the mom. And it was sort of like the opposite ends of the spectrum. I mean, Nina was this perfectionist who had to have everything absolutely perfect no matter what, and she was willing to do anything to get that, to attain that. And then the other girl was the complete opposite end of the spectrum, like, oh, it just comes naturally, I just love it, and party girl. And then the mom, I think, was the closest, because ballet moms are the most insane of anything. Like, you think soccer moms are crazy, you think sports moms are crazy, no, there's no one crazier on the planet than ballet moms. Especially ballet moms that used to dance, because they understand what it takes. A lot of dance moms are the ones that sort of live vicariously through their kids, and they push them, and they push them, and they push them until their kids lose their minds. It was slightly frustrating to watch, because 90% of us are somewhere in the middle. I mean, we want to have fun and party and whatever on our off time, but we're not every day is a party. But yes, you do get emotionally involved. And part of what makes the great dancers are the ones that find a way to connect with the role and connect with the character, whether it be the swan or the sugar plum or the Little Mermaid, which we've done recently, or Cleopatra. But there's a difference between finding a piece of that character within you and losing yourself to the role.
How do you think you stand out from other dancers at the Columbia City Ballet?
I think that I'm lucky in one sense, because coming from the School of American Ballet, I have a really good technical background. SAB really doesn't plan for people to go anywhere but the New York City Ballet. They're sort of a breeding ground for their own company, and if they don't think you're going to make it into the New York City Ballet, they sort of let you fall by the wayside. A lot of people leave there completely emotionally disturbed, just because if they're not going to make it into the New York City Ballet, it's like they don't care about them. And I sort of knew I was never going to dance with the New York City Ballet, just because they look for a very specific type, and I just don't fall into that. And they don't have the thought process of different companies look for different things, and different directors want different attributes and dancers. So I think that what I have, that a lot of dancers that have come from smaller companies, is a really good technical background. So even though I don't necessarily have the best attributes, as SAB would have put it, I think that I'm a very technically strong dancer, and I'm a great mover. That's one thing. I can use a stage like nobody's business.
Now, injuries, if severe, could easily end the career of a dancer. What was it like being told you wouldn't be able to dance that summer?
I think it was more I was bummed out, just because I was in this amazing place with these amazing teachers, and I wasn't getting to take full advantage of that. I mean, it all worked out in the end. Like, it sort of led down the right path and gave me some knowledge that I now am really glad I have, but at the time it was more depressing just because I wasn't dancing than career-threatening.
What's your most difficult challenge about having two jobs that require hours of work, and how do you keep things balanced, both physically and creatively?
Well, I don't have a social life. I don't sleep much. I don't know if I keep things balanced. I'm a Gemini. Geminis are the twins, so we're constantly in two places. So I actually think it sort of gives me something to thrive on, because I've always been one of those people that has an amazing idea, and like 3 seconds later it's like, wait, what about this? And I'm jumping all around. So it's kind of good that I get to do something that exercises both of my passions, but it goes towards the same greater goal. In one sense, I think it keeps me a little bit more grounded, but creativity, that's always come naturally. I guess I'm lucky. I don't know. Anybody's artistic. It's just, you have it or you don't.
And back to Black Swan, what did you think of the costume design in the film? specifically the extravagant tutu designs by Rodarte.
I was absolutely in love with the costumes. I thought the costumes and makeup were unbelievable. The tutus, I was sort of watching it wondering the whole time if it was actually like a dance designer or if it was a costume designer, and I believe that there was a collaborative effort that happened that somebody who was familiar with ballet costumes and the proper way to construct them came in and sort of worked with the costume designer to get everything functional yet amazing. And it's actually something that's become common. A lot of fashion designers are turning to costume design, not necessarily for ballet, but a lot of fashion designers have done movies and vice versa. I think it's a great way to bring in a little bit more high fashion into the world of theater.
Do you ever get envious and wish you had all the resources films like this depict?
Yes, and in one sense, I do kind of feel like it's rewarding to work on a tiny budget because you can see how much I actually got done on pennies. But in the same respect, it's constantly counting this, counting that. I try not to buy anything unless I know I actually need it. So a lot of times I'll find myself close to the end going, oh my god, I still haven't found a fabric that I like or is cheap enough for this. And I'm running around trying to find something that'll work. So a lot of times I'm using stuff that is not necessarily the best item or the best fabric, but is more, it'll do, and it's in the budget. The ultimate goal, though, one day is to do movies. So I don't know. I don't even think I could comprehend what it would be like if somebody was like, here's your $10 million budget. Go at it. I would probably be like a kid in a candy store and go crazy. But yeah, I'm definitely jealous. If I had the money, and I say this all the time, I think that people get sick of hearing me say this. If I had the money and a staff of 10 people that were as knowledgeable and skilled as me, I could turn the costume shop for the ballet company into something nobody's ever seen.
But now, what is the average budget for a typical ballet?
Brand new ballets, a couple thousand. If it's a ballet that we've done before, like Dracula usually isn't that much because we do it every year, it's the same sort of costumes. Now, Nutcracker, which we do every year, that one's a little bit more. Just because there's always stuff that needs to be repaired. Usually a few hundred to a grand.
Do you think you have an advantage over other costume designers being a dancer yourself?
Absolutely. Everybody who's been a great costume designer has been in the theater in one facet or another. The problem with a lot of people that are just seamstresses, or I know how to sew, I can buy a pattern and cut up fabric and put it together, and it might look great. It might look absolutely amazing. And they might be actually skilled seamstresses that know how to sew very well. For instance, this shirt I'm working on now, it's not a genius. I mean, if you know how to follow a pattern, you can put together a shirt. Being a costume designer adds in a whole nother dimension. When you're dealing with opera singers, for instance, you have to understand that they sing from their ribcage and from their diaphragm, and they absolutely cannot have a constricting costume in the chest area or they can't sing. If you're dealing with theater, they need to project, they need to speak, and they need to move. And ballet dancers, we're one of the few arts in which our bodies are the art form. Something as simple as when the guy is partnering the girl, just knowing how the costume needs to close, that it doesn't constrict motion. To me, that is absolutely number one. Always comfortable, and they always have full range of motion, because if you take away their motion, or their ability to sing, or their ability to move, then you've just taken away their art. What's the point?
New York is, if not the center, one of the major centers of the arts in this country. What was it like giving that up to move to Columbia?
I mean, I miss New York. Don't get me wrong. I miss things about New York. I don't think I miss New York City so much as what New York City has to offer. New York City is overcrowded, overpopulated. It's a great city. It's just so crowded. When you go to New York, you can't walk down the street. You can't ride a subway or public transportation without touching people. So in that sense, I'm perfectly happy to be outside of New York City. I do love the fact that Columbia, which is kind of a strange small city in the middle of the Southeast, has three professional theater companies. It has two professional and a professional student level ballet companies. The Coker Center brings in arts from all over the world. It has a Philharmonic, and Morihiko is unbelievably talented and has done amazing things with the symphony here. Surprisingly, Columbia has a lot to offer. Now, when I first moved here 12 years ago, I think I was definitely a little bit shocked culturally, but it was more just because this is where the ballet company was and I wanted to dance, and it was just going to be, let's just do it for a few years and see how it goes and have some fun and then see where I want to go next. And Columbia's grown.
I think I've changed a little bit too, so I'm okay. I go to New York enough to get my fill of culture.